as Dab mentioned with the kids, this last week was Valentine's Day. And I don't know about you, but my kids brought home a lot of little cards and treats and things like that that they got from school. But as you think about Valentine's Day, what's the one symbol that comes to mind? Love. And what symbolizes love is a heart, right? Heart-shaped candies, heart-shaped cards. And the reason for that is that in our culture, in our world, when we talk about heart, we mean love. We mean the place where those kind of romantic feelings reside when you feel a certain way about somebody else. And we have an interesting idea, almost kind of a mystical idea about the heart. We say things like, listen to your heart, or follow your heart, or the heart wants what it wants. Reba McEntire and Vince Gill sang a song called The Heart Won't Lie. Roxette, if you were around in the 80s, wrote an earworm of a song called Listen to Your Heart. Anybody know that one? Okay. You'll be singing that one in your head for the rest of the day, probably. But what we see every time heart is mentioned is that heart seems to be this almost mystical place that has all of the answers for us. And if we can just connect with our heart, if we can just follow our heart, then everything is going to be okay. The heart can't lie. We need to figure out what's going on in our heart, and we need to obey our heart. I know this is not a very popular post-Valentine's Day sermon, but is that a very good idea? Is that sound advice? Is it sound advice to listen to your heart? Is it sound advice to say the heart never lies? Well, if we're going to bring Scripture into the conversation, I think we're going to be hard-pressed to affirm all of that. That we should just listen to our hearts, that we should just follow our hearts, that we should just believe whatever it is our hearts tell us, whatever that means. This morning we heard from a passage from Jeremiah. So we're going to go back into Jeremiah again. A few weeks ago we talked about how Jeremiah was going to have to give hard words to God's people. And today is no different. Jeremiah is coming with some hard words that has to do with the heart. So if we back up and actually look at the passages in the beginning of the chapter, beginning of chapter 17, before we get to what we heard read, this is what we will see. And you can turn there in your Bibles if you'd like. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Even their children remember when their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees and on the high hills. My mountain in the land and your wealth and all your treasures I will give away as plunder, together with your high places, because of sin throughout your country. Through no fault of your own, you will lose your inheritance I gave you. Through your fault, I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know. For you have kindled my anger, and it will burn forever. Strong words from God. You get this image that the hearts, and in the Bible, what the heart is, that's the center of what makes you do what you do. Okay? It's the center of why you do what you do. Has been engraved. The image of their heart is a piece of stone. And their heart has been marked, not notably with a dry erase marker, but with a chisel, with a flint point. Sin has been engraved on their hearts. This is a serious problem, people. When you engrave something in stone, it is going to be there. It is not something that you can easily get away from. So God says, look, people, you have worshipped other gods. You have Asherah poles out there. On the high places, you are making sacrifices to Baal. You are going all these other places than me because you want prosperity, and you are not trusting in me. You are trusting in other gods. And so there is going to be a consequence, and that consequence is that Judah is going to be carried away. Judah is going to be carried away into exile. Their problem, though, all comes down to the heart. They thought they could trust their heart. They thought that they could trust their human discernment and wisdom to know what to do instead of trusting in the Lord. And the words of God through Jeremiah likens them to a shrub in a desert. It doesn't last long. It's going to dry up. It's going to wilt when the rain doesn't come from the skies. But in contrast, the person who trusts in the Lord, they are like that tree that's planted by the streams of water, so that when times are hard, they still have a supply for their life. And then this, I think, is the real kicker. We read that, and this is in verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Deb, I noticed you did not have a Valentine's Day card like that. I've never seen one. I probably wouldn't sell very well. And if you do decide to try and make your own and send that to somebody, I'd love to hear how that goes. But the heart is deceitful above all things. It's beyond cure. Who can understand it? Whoa! To me, when I read that, it doesn't sound like I can just listen to my heart. As sad as that is, according to the witness here in Jeremiah, it is precisely human beings trusting in themselves, trusting in their hearts, that got them into so much trouble in the first place. God does not seem to have the same high estimation of following our hearts or listening to our hearts that we seem to have. In strong words, the heart is beyond cure. I think there's some hyperbole going on here, thankfully, because for God, it's a different story. If we were to fast forward in the story of Jeremiah, if we were to go to chapter 31 and 32, we would read how God is not just going to leave his people abandoned to their stony hearts that have been engraved with sin. In chapter 2, we read, "I will gather them from all the countries to which I drove them in my anger and in great indignation. I will bring them back to this place. I will make them dwell in safety. They shall be my people. I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever, for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make them an everlasting covenant. I will not turn away from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me into their hearts that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing them good. I will plant them in this land of faithfulness and with all my heart and soul." We hear this over and over again throughout the prophets. We hear it again in Ezekiel 11:19. "And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." So you see, God knew that the human heart was sick. It had always been God's plan that human beings, that God's people, weren't going to depend on themselves, that they were going to depend on him. But time and time again through the story of the people of God, what we see is that human beings, apart from the miraculous work of God, are not capable. They needed some serious heart surgery to be able to even have a chance at turning to God, at trusting in God. We, brothers and sisters, we have hope. The prophets, as they pointed to this work of the Spirit that was going to change hearts, that was going to take the heart of stone, pull it out, and put it in a heart of flesh, we see that happening with the work of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. But even so, even now, even as believers indwelt by the Holy Spirit, do our hearts ever let us down? Paul, the apostle, transparently lays his struggle out. This is what he says in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15. I do not understand what I do. Does that sound anything like what we heard in Jeremiah? Who can understand the human heart? I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. And as it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin that's living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So this is Paul the apostle, blinded by seeing the risen Lord, planting churches all over Asia Minor, who says, I'm doing what I don't want to do. My heart is still messed up. The human flesh, the human nature within me still holds some sway, even though the Spirit of God is within me trying to convince me otherwise. So our condition, brothers and sisters, is that we are somewhere in between of this process of being fully formed. And one day, the work in the human heart will be finished. God's will and God's word will dwell perfectly within us, and we will be in God's presence. No longer will we struggle in the way that we do. And the good news, friends, and Paul knew this better than anybody, is that our hope is not in the fact that we are able to get everything right now. The hope is in the fact that Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has made righteousness possible for us. That by believing in him, we take on his righteousness. He's the one that was able to have that heart that perfectly turned to God. And so it's in him, it's by being in him that we are seen by God as righteous, that we have the hope of eternal life, that we have the hope of that ultimate transformation where we no longer on a regular basis, like Paul, have to lament the fact that within us the Spirit of God cries out and says, don't do that. And we do it. Anybody tired of that? I know I am. I long for the day when is no longer such a struggle to just simply do what pleases God. The good news is that God is so gracious. He's doing the heavy lifting for us. He's saving us despite ourselves. I mean, we saw this all throughout Jeremiah. God is going to do this thing. God is going to keep this promise. God is going to gather his people. God is going to put the new heart in them. It's not us. So, brothers and sisters, I think that that's good news. I think that's good news. And thanks be to God that we have each other to walk alongside, because we are going to stumble. But may God give us his eyes, his grace, his compassion to see our brothers and sisters, to pick each other up and say, let's keep seeking the Lord together. Let's pray. Father, it grieves us that we cannot always get it right. So God, we give you thanks for your unfailing love, that you keep your promises, that you are saving us despite ourselves. Lord God, may we turn again and again to you, trusting in the grace and forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.